And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. This is our entertainer show. Our special guest today is Kim Carrath. Kim started acting at age 3 when she was the child star in Spencer's Mountain with Henry Fonda. That led to her role playing Gretel in The Sound of Music. Then she went on to star with Jack Lemmon in Good Neighbor Sam. Kim Carrath, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Tell us about how you got discovered and your beginnings in Hollywood.
Well, I am born and raised in Southern California. And I had spectacularly wonderful parents. They were Greek and very much into performing, just kind of themselves, you know, singing. That my house was always filled with singing and dancing, and I had older brother and sister that were my brother was a singer, my sister was a dancer. So it kind of all seeped in through the through my pores, all of that performing. And so I was like a natural little ham, but none of that, that's not how I got discovered. I actually, my father had a restaurant, and I was having a cheeseburger with my mother. I was 3, and some producers came over and said to my mother, what a cute little girl, you know, do you want to put her in a movie? And my mother said, ask her. And I apparently answered without missing a beat, well, if it doesn't take up too much time, because I have a lot of dolls to take care of and I'm really busy. So that they loved that. And that was the beginning of my movie career.
So what's the biggest lesson that you've learned from your career?
Well, you know, I mean, I think my main piece of advice, and it's kind of corny and cliche and everything, is get an education, because as spectacular as the career can be, if you are not sufficiently educated, and that's a lesson for life as well, you really don't handle things as well. And you can't be as resilient and competent and everything. I mean, careers in the entertainment industry and in other industries ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. And without like a solid analytic background, you may not, you know, make it through.
Can you give some advice to the next generation about going into the field of acting?
Oh, my goodness. You know, first of all, I went to Paris when I was 24 because I'd been, you know, acting and living in Los Angeles my whole life. And my father had passed away a few years before, and I really wanted a change. And I spoke French, so I got an agent and went to Paris. But, you know, it was a spectacular experience to really see a completely different world. I mean, the world of Europe. And I traveled a lot. And I think that really enriches your perspective. Traveling is a wonderful thing to do. And I think if you don't, you do have the risk of a limited perspective on things.
So studying art history had to be really special. History truly matters, doesn't it? Especially from the Renaissance.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, art and the history of art is obviously is something I always loved, and it's absolutely fascinating. But again, all of that just gives you perspective. You know, sometimes I hear people say, you know, things like, well, why is everybody getting cancer now, or et cetera, et cetera. Well, we have long lifespans now. People in the Renaissance, for example, had remarkably short lifespans. Who knows what they would have gotten had they lived long enough? Mm-hmm. Mortality rate was 1 in 2 for infants. So, I mean, if you have no concept of history, it's hard to get your bearings here, and you may find yourself being, I don't mean for this to sound harsh, but like unnecessarily sort of whiny about life now. You know, when I hear people complain a lot about stress, it's not that there isn't a lot of stress, but, you know, it must have been pretty stressful to know that if you got sick, you might die because no antibiotics and nothing existed.
Mm-hmm.
And, exactly. You know, if you had a tooth issue, well, you could die of that too, or, you know, some horrible barber on the street would pull it out with, you know, tongs and no anesthetic. So mm-hmm. life must have been pretty tough. And, you know, I just think that that's what history teaches us. So it's important to know those are important life lessons.
If you had any period of time to go back into and visit, and even meet artists from that period, what would that be?
Oh, you know, I would definitely go back to the era of the Impressionists,
mm-hmm.
because I'm a huge, huge fan of the Impressionists, and I probably would want to go and spend some time with Monet at Giverny, which was his beautiful home where he painted so many beautiful paintings, and just really absorb all that beauty with him and watch what he did, since I'm totally and completely inept at anything involving art. I would be fascinated.
Well, fantastic. A great number of our listening audience wants to continue to learn and grow and reinvent themselves. And you strike me as a person who is always continually reinventing yourself. Why is it important to stay on a creative arc?
Well, I mean, and by the word, using the word creative, you know, I think it's important that people not think that it's just limited to painting or writing or what we traditionally think of as creative. Creativity is a very wide, it's a very wide category. And, you know, being creative can within your life can just be creating a new career for yourself, which so many people find themselves in the situation of needing to do. It's looking at the information that's in front of you and coming up with a new perspective.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Creating new levels for yourself. That's what it's all about. Well, tell us about the Aurelia Foundation.
Absolutely. Just one more thing about that. You know, I think it was Aristotle that said, know yourself, know oneself. And it's really from that that springs being able to recreate your identity and look at your life from a more productive or different way. So, but apropos of the Aurelia Foundation, that came about, and I need to go back in time a little bit with that. I have a wonderful son named Eric who was born absolutely healthy, and at 3 weeks old, he got incredibly sick and had a stroke. And it's forever changed, obviously, you know, both our lives. So it impacted him with regard to speech and language and development. And he's lovely and healthy and can walk and has no physical impact, although he's kind of fragile from that. It totally changed his arc and mine as well. So I found myself struggling in, you know, on a road that was not a well-traveled road. And over the years, it became really obvious that the only people that completely could share that and understand that were other parents of kids with special needs and significant special needs. Ultimately, I struggled with schools. I struggled with people's perception of my son. And I ended up here in Malibu, which has the most amazing special education program. And it's headed up by someone named Lisa Zalagi, who is herself the mother of a disabled daughter. And I think that's why it's been so exceptional. It was so incredible for Eric and me the first time we ever really felt truly supported. And however, the problem is that at 22, that system no longer is available to us because it's within the public school system. And there are not a lot of programs that incorporate the latest research, state-of-the-art information on the brain and disability and everything. And that's what Lisa and I and some very dedicated parents decided to create. And that's what the Aurelia Foundation is all about.
Man, that's a brilliant idea. Education can't end at a certain age. So how many others are involved in, how can our listening audience get involved to help this become a national cause?
You know, it's a very, very good question. Well, first of all, there are a group of 10 of us that are, you know, the among the foundation board and people instrumental in this. When we opened up our meeting to the rest of the public, you know, locally, we were besieged by people from all over the area, really far away, who needed a place to bring their children, who, mm-hmm. I mean, we, when we, you know, there was an article about me in the Malibu Times just recently, we were, again, besieged by people saying, where is the program? How can we get there, et cetera, et cetera? Well, the program is in its formative stage right now. We don't have a location for it. We're fundraising so that we can get it hopefully off the ground in September somewhere here locally in Malibu to start. But the idea is to create a model state-of-the-art program that can be replicated all over the United States.
Mm.
Because what it represents is an entire change in perspective. Traditionally, kids with special needs, especially the ones with fairly significant severe disabilities, have been just completely underestimated. And just because their ability to learn is different from the ability to learn of a typical person does not mean that they cannot learn.
Exactly.
You know, our young people have really remarkable skills. There's, you know, I'm thinking of one lovely, lovely young girl named Christina who, you know, in the midst of her very profound disability is an amazing singer and pianist. And another young man named Rex, who's been on, Rex Lewis, who's been on 60 Minutes, he's in my son's class as well. And, you know, he is autistic and he composes music and plays beautifully and is amazing. And, you know, if someone had not nurtured these abilities, these talents, these abilities would never see the light of day.
Exactly.
So it's really critical that we do not estimate anyone who has a disability. And that's what we have done historically and traditionally. We see the glass as half empty and not half full.
We should never underestimate what people have in terms of their skills, even in the midst of severe disabilities. We have to nurture our abilities. Can you tell our listening audience where we can contribute to the Aurelia Foundation?
The best way is to go to your computer and put in www.aureliafoundation.org, and that is Aurelia Foundation, all one word, .org.
Kim, we have a few callers who have some other questions for you. Here's caller number one. They want to know, why are so many disabled people institutionalized?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, it is absolutely tragic that previously that is how the disabled were treated. But it has been changing. In all fairness, I'm not the first. I'm part of the beginning of a movement to change all of that. And, you know, schools have been making efforts. They're just it's not enough. It's very hard to find really great programs. I had to move across the country to do that. I was living in Greenwich, Connecticut, and, you know, basically my son and I were being tortured. So it was the worst system ever. And I would have thought that an affluent place would have, you know, that an affluent educated place would have allowed that to trickle down to special ed, but no. But, you know, here I am. It's been incredible. So things are changing. They are. And I'm very, very glad to be part of this change. It's critical.
Yeah,
you know, I would argue that our young people are, frankly, the last group of prejudiced, the last group of individuals, you know, that have very unreasonable prejudices against them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's another kind of racism or all the rest. But I think they're the last frontier. So, you know, and I think there's some incredibly profound saying about a society is only as civilized as it is, as it treats its weakest citizens, something like that. I someone else will know who that came from, but I thought it was, you know, it's a mark of the level of civilization by the way that the weakest citizens are treated. And apropos, I think the other part of the question was how you can get involved. Just check out our website, www.aureliafoundation.org, you know, contact us.
Well, you got it. You absolutely get it. Another caller wants to know, about bouncing back. Tell us about your own experience of having resiliency.
I would love to tell you more about bouncing back. It evolved basically because I became fascinated personally with the topic of human resilience. And there's quite a bit of fascinating research on that subject. God knows that that's something that we all need in our lives. And there are people who have survived extraordinary hardships, and those are the people that have been studied by researchers into resilience. And fascinatingly enough, they have a lot of characteristics in common. And that's basically what the show is about. It's exploring the psychology of these, well, heroes, frankly. And we've done two shows. The one that showed on a cable channel was a show about a woman named Dr. Edith Eva Eger, who is a Holocaust survivor and the most extraordinary woman I've ever met. She survived incredible things, horrific things, and ultimately became a professor of clinical psychology at the University of San Diego. She still, in her 80s, goes to Walter Reed Army Hospital and speaks to veterans about post-traumatic stress syndrome. And she's extraordinary, and she's the person I interviewed. If you want to see that interview, you just look up Bouncing Back, my name, and then Bouncing Back, or you can actually see it on my my website, which is www.kimcarath.com, and it's also on YouTube. So you can watch that. We're trying to basically get the show sold to a network that will really honor what it is that we want to do, which is to interview these people and bring in experts on resilience to really analyze what it is that has made them so extraordinarily resilient.
And just to comment, Kim, it appears to us that you've moved from a successful career to one of significance. We congratulate you on that. And really applaud what you have done, especially with the Aurelia Foundation. And we want to welcome you back to our show at any time. That was Kim Carath. And if you'd like to visit her website, it's kimcarath.com. You can learn more about that or go to the AureliaFoundation.org today to contribute. I'm Rick Tokini. Thanks for joining us on this show. As we always say, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasini@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program. And thanks to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, and their hilarious Church Kitchen Lady cards. Church Kitchen Ladies are a bunch of maybe 20 million volunteers across the United States that work in 300,000 churches, and they say stuff like, mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. They also say, crunch tacos, not abs. And psst, you're crazy is showing, you might want to tuck that back in. And one of our favorites is, life is short, lick the bowl. If you want to find out more about the wonderful Church Kitchen Ladies and join their roundtable, go to gracefully-yours.com today and find out about Church Kitchen Ladies and purchase all the rest of the fine Gracefully Yours greeting cards.